stuff based on the article of Babaji Maharaj. There are quite a few occasions when we had discussed about the importance of Lord Krishna in our system and tried to dispel the notions that we have nothing to do with the tradition and we are some sort of independent people. This is a system which assimilated everything good of the past, and we have come to a system which can be considered as unique and which integrates everything of the past, throwing out, of course, in the language of Babaji, refuse. The refuse of rituals, rites, keeping only to the barest minimum what is required for our sadhana. Before I go to the topic of Gita, I would read out what the Master has to say regarding the avatars. I do believe in the theory of avatars, and Lord Ramchandra was one of them. He was of immense help during his own regime, but with the advent of Lord Krishna, the regime of Lord Rama was over. It may appear that this is something new. It is not so. This is tradition. When the new avatar comes, the old avatar ceases to have relevance. For historical reasons, the worship of Rama was restored sometime in the 12th century, and our first temples of Rama were constructed only then. Many people may not be aware of these facts, because we tend to accept what is generally believed, and Heidegger's theory applies that a lie told several times becomes a truth. Lord Krishna, it is now the regime of Lord Krishna who is to continue till the next avatar comes to the world. This is the phenomenon of nature which I bring to light for your understanding. The position of the special personality with reference to the position of the avatar was explained in earlier occasions. And I can only say that this is some ushering of a great personality to better the quality of human life. I think this distinction must always be kept in mind. You may ask me, yesterday I told that there cannot be any difference between Krishna and Babaji Maharaj. Yes, I hold that opinion even now and perhaps forever, because that is the truth. Lord Krishna is working through the agency of Sri Ramchandraji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur. There is something like an agency in work. And training is only one of the many things that he does, that he is on record elsewhere. So he is not just confined to being our master in the sense of a trainer. He has got many things to do. And it is for us to follow whatever he has said. Now coming to Gita. We kept the paper there, but still. next time we will improve the outlay here. This is a very, very critical article which must be understood in its proper perspective. The same approach I have taken yesterday of going through the message. I'll adopt now also. Before that, because most of us think that we know something about surrender, surrender for me would mean, in the language of Vardhacharya, when we wait on God without words and seek Him only in silence, that is surrender. Then He takes hold of our hands, so to speak. Surrender means being naked before God. Gopis were taught the lesson. Most of us would like to hide many things and then place ourselves before the Master, saying that He ought to be knowing what my problem is. This happens. So let us yield to the Master in all our nakedness and then hear, without any further notions, preconceived notions about Gita, because then only you will understand this whole article. There are very many preconceived notions we have got in our head, not due to our mistake. That's what the environment has provided us. Yesterday we talked enough about that. The simple, unassuming character of mind, he starts it not with Gita proper, but with the nature of mind. The simple, unassuming character of mind has changed with the march of time and assumed a colorful disposition and began to shed its effect on everything in us, both outer and inner. Seems to be quite a philosophical sentence. Not all that's philosophical, but it only means that over a period of time we have developed so many ideas, so many notions. What was the pure state of mind? Because mind is basically pure. It's just like child. Yeah, just born child. No notions. We went on imbibing all the impulses, putting it into our head, assimilating it, and then we started accepting some, rejecting some. That's what it meant by coloring it. By itself, none of them have got any color. We grant it a color. We accept some, we reject some. Whatever, therefore, we take into our thought or action exhibits colorfulness in all the phases. So our thinking gets vitiated because of the colors we have accepted. Certain things appear to be correct, certain things appear to be wrong. Not because they are right or wrong, or good or bad, but because we think so. Our excessive attachment to the environment and the surroundings of a similar nature create in us heaviness and grassness. Excessive attachment, please note the word. Attachment you can't help because you are attached. Existence means attachment, we have got to live together. You can't help the environment. Subtleness is lost, and everything that comes to our view is interpreted in the same light. We don't accept a thing as it is, then we try to give our interpretations, our views of things. This not only wheels our understanding, but the heart and brain also get affected by it. Not only we don't understand things properly in the proper perspective because we have a pair of blue glasses, but it affects also future understanding. It affects your brain. It becomes a part of your further samskaras in your head. You read some story of Krishna, then it gets into your head and you think that is what it is from your angle. It was the same tendency of mind which displayed itself through all the writings of men of knowledge and learning. Now here is a revelation to all of us, that whoever is trying to write, and we are also writing, and they give our opinions. the way in which you have understood the subject. It sometimes helps, it sometimes spoils. But simplicity is our approach. Behind everything, there is a nakedness of silence. That is the ultimate goal. Moments of such silence is what we experience every day. The nakedness of our being we understand every day. Maybe for a few seconds, maybe some more minutes. Ripples are there. So long as we do not have waves, it's all right. When we talk about the ocean of bliss, I don't know how many of you have really understood what exactly we are driving at. If it is a wave, it will definitely not keep you calm. It has to be some sort of a ripple, perhaps. For want of words, we use several words. And then each word used has got its own connotation in your head, your own understanding of that. And then it vitiates your understanding further. It colors it. For thorough understanding of things, one must have practically attained the state of mind required before one can come out to explain it to others. If we do not experience our sadhana, during our sadhana, the states of calmness, any amount of our talking about the books of Babaji Maharaj is not going to make you wiser or the people who hear wiser. Academic approach to the subject is of no use. Experiential approach is what is required. Your academics is based on your understanding, the concepts that you have developed, the inputs that you have got, the language that you have developed. All these things are going to affect your explanations or understanding. But experience is simple, direct. Anubhava is direct awareness. And the same was the case with our sacred Gita. Now that is a statement that must be understood well, and perhaps it will be taken with a pinch of salt by many. Because it affects the commentaries that have been given by great people on this subject. I may say here that Gita Bhashyas given by the great acharyas are attempts to substantiate the relative points of view of the acharyas. Whether it is the Advaita or Vishtadvaita or Dvaita or the Veda Veda, each one of the commentaries that they have given is only trying to substantiate their point of view and not to tell what exactly is the truth. That is the misfortune. We inherited it. I get attached to Ramanuja, somebody else get attached to Shankara, a third person to Nimbarka, then what shall we do? We fight. We go on arguing. Saying this is correct, that is correct. We don't try to understand what Lord Krishna said. There are numerous commentaries and more are still being added. That is true. I must tell you, both myself and my brother Parsar, they had intention of writing a Gita commentary. We wanted to write the Sahajimar commentary for the Gita. Then we went through this article, both of us came to the realized position that better shut up our mouth. The exercise was something that we thought, both of us thought very seriously about it. The reasons I will tell you later, in the article you will see some points which made us think that perhaps we should do some research in this. But then we left it there. It doesn't prevent anyone of you trying. Almost everyone attempted it from his level of learning and reason. Please note it. Learning and reason. For the people to understand it from the same level of thinking. You come to a level, then according to the level you expect other men to understand. But though their physical labor in this respect may be appreciable to some extent, the actual purpose is not served at all. The Gita commentaries are very voluminous. They run to many pages. Quite a lot of physical effort have gone. Those days, poor people, without any computers to type, without any light. They must have put a lot of physical labor in relative darkness, without light, without the medium of ink, writing on some leaves. Must have been quite an effort. And he says, he is not very charitable here, he says, to some extent, that physical labor is appreciable. I would have been happy had he left it there. My mental tendency is such that he could have at least left it there. But he added to some extent, almost denouncing their approach. Because what is it that they have done to merit this type of statement? If you put that question, you know they try to misinterpret God's version. And that is something that nobody can accept. And that requires to be denounced. So the denunciation is not because we don't accept their learning or reasoning, but because there is a total perversion of what the great master was telling, the Gita Acharya was telling. The actual purpose is not served at all. And to be more frank, the commentaries have made the original text all the more complicated by putting the bare truth and the coverings of misconceptions. This is the mistake that warrants us to take a very critical view. In other words, we increase our own limitations by adding more and more complexities to it. I can, in this connection, tell a very good feeling expressed by one of the Abhyasis. Accustomed to sing stotras, or hear some songs, all divine. He said, those things are affecting my meditation and therefore I am leaving that. Very few people have got that much of wisdom to arrive at, because we try to continue to recite those slokas or poems or songs or whatever it is, all in the divine name, during meditations. You can surely do it otherwise. But his objection was not that of doing it otherwise. He says, because I do that, that's a grossness that has come and is affecting my meditation, because during meditation it affects me. It's a very practical experience. Most of the Abhyasis must have had it. But they have not got that wisdom, that tinge of wisdom, to leave it. Because grossness clicks. It gets itself attached. It may be Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, or it may be something else. It does not matter much. I don't want to go into the details, nor mention about any person, but the diary was something which made me feel, yes, here is a Viveka of a different order, which is generally passed on as a sattvic nature. Yes, it's passed on. Nothing wrong about it. That's what we generally take it. Who said it? My tradition said it. That is the coloring I have got. That is a notion that I have got from somebody else. Over a period of time, I developed this. Similar is the case for the worship of God, who is represented as physically similar to man, with the only difference that he is a superior being and has a bigger sphere in proportion to his bigness. This perhaps is a very, very indirect reference to what we call the Visvarupa Darshana that was given, where you have got the portrayals today made of Visvarupa Darshana saying that he is a very, very mighty being with from top, the head touching the heavens and the feet touching the patala, all sorts of things. All your notions, so many gods, and all put together as heads. Sahasra Sirsha Purusha has been so totally misinterpreted, twisted, mauled. Literally, the cinema fellows and the video fellows and the artists have taken it to their head to somehow or other distort reality to such an extent that we are lost in the unreality that is given now. But he does not want to digress here. But not taking up the topic at present, I confine myself to the subject proper. He does not want to go into the type of idols that we have made and the type of worship that we have got, because he has expressed that in another place. Now, the great Acharya gives a message. It is not for realizing the ultimate that he gave. There's a need there. Somebody was suffering from Dharmasaka Sankata. That problem had to be solved. So let us understand the context in which it is given. It was in accordance with the need of the time that Lord Krishna revealed the truth depicted in the Gita to Arjuna. Need of the time. We must be highly indebted to him for all that he put forth for our benefit, which in course of time has become the guiding light for us all. So here is a positive assertion that what tradition has been saying, that Gita is a source from which we can draw inspiration. He never said no. If you read earlier paragraphs only, you will come to the conclusion that he has objected. What he has objected to was the commentaries, not the Gita proper. Please understand the difference, because this is what exactly is our difficulty. It was not merely an idle discourse, but the actual revelation of the very thing needed for a true pursuit of the divine path, not for realization. The divine path is to be in tune with the divine, here live with the divine, express the divine, show his greatness. Nothing to do with realization as such. The divine path ultimately takes you there. Here the point is, the thing needed for a true pursuit of the divine path. Kindly note the words. They relate directly to the various conditions which an abhyasi passes through during the course of his march. We'll have occasion to talk about it down. It related to the practical realization of those conditions which can be attained through proper sadhana. We must in this context remember that Arjuna was always having the company of Lord Krishna in his life. He is one of those fortunate persons. His exposure to Krishna is something that is continuous and constant, and he made himself a devotee. There was a sadhana going on simultaneously, which the Mahabharata may not talk to us. But if you apply your head and then start thinking, if a person has been living with the master all the time, he could not help at least a certain amount of the effect of fomentation. There was a sadhana going on. At least he had the wisdom to seek his guidance at the appropriate time. And this he has been doing all the time. That viveka is there. That I do not know, he knows more. God knows more. Let us seek his guidance. Yesterday I was telling the same sentence from a different angle. Namely, Babaji was saying, if you are in difficulties, why do you think about the difficulties? Think about me. The difficulty will be over and I will also be there with you. But most of us worry about the difficulties during meditation and other time also. At other time I can understand, but why in meditation also I can't understand. This is what we do. We don't want the company of God, though he is very much available. But Arjuna had the wisdom. He was doing his sadhana. There may, however, be elevated souls present in the world today who may be able to give you a glimpse of it or to create instantly the same state in you by the application of their own inner powers. My own approach is to think that this refers to him and to certain other members of his clan. The conditions can be infused by the trainers onto the abhyasis is something that I have experienced with my own revered father and with certain others also. They used to put us into certain conditions and then say, do you feel this now? I have been pleading with all my colleagues in this respect, please one of the conditions so that you can foment others. That will give them the awareness of the various conditions and will motivate them better. It is not that it is not being done, because there is another prefix here earlier which went, namely the sadhana. He says which can be attained through proper sadhana. You must have proper orientation. You can't have reservations. And there are a few people, who have expressed such awareness. When conditions were infused into them, they expressed their awareness. Here, even amongst us here. But I would like that number to swell, and you should have the whole community of people who believe in Sri Ramachandraji to say, yes, this is what it is. I only pray that this prayer of ours is granted. I proceed further. Let us here consider how much time Lord Krishna could have possibly required for speaking out the total text of the Gita as we find it today. The armies were standing face to face on the battlefield, and the war trumpets were sounding loud, announcing the 0 hour for action. How much time was there at the disposal of Lord Krishna to bring Arjuna around to the proper course of preaching a sermon to him? The recitation requires at least a few hours. Here I can say that the people who have been reciting generally take around 1.5 hours. I have come across one great gentleman who was able to do it around 45 minutes, very sincerely, because he knew it thoroughly up. But it used to take minimum of 1.5 hours for the majority of the people. How could that be possible at the critical moment? This is, of course, one of the commonest criticisms against Gita. I don't have to say that this is something that is new. But then he comes down with a different answer. He doesn't say all these things to prove that Gita was a false thing like my Christian missionaries would ask me to believe, or some Sanskrit scholars who would say that this has been interpolated later into the Bharat, into the Parva. Right? This is how, these are all the various viewpoints. Taking into consideration this point, that it will take a long time. The approach is different, the answer is different here. The fact is that Lord Krishna actually transmitted to Arjuna within a few minutes all those mental states necessary for the purpose at the time. Here, again, for the purpose at the time is a transmission, not the ultimate, as the Bhashyakaras would ask me to believe. Really, they were the very conditions which an Abhyasi passes through during the course of his march. We will have occasion to talk about it now. The process brought Arjuna instantly to a higher state of spiritual consciousness and purged out the feeling of undue attachment. So the only purpose that Gita has served on that day for Krishna was to get some vairagya. He was having undue attachment to so many people, brothers, sisters, uncles, grandfathers and fathers, gurus, guru's children, all these problems were there in his head. And he had to have certain amount of vairagya to act. That is what he has done. He says, and purged out the feeling of undue attachment from his heart. This can as well be possible today if a personality of that caliber is there. I would ask you to note, the condition of Arjuna is something that is a must if you want to have such a condition given to you. Do we feel the need so much? Is there a Dharma Sankata problem for us to that extent that Arjuna was having? Don't compare yourself to anybody who is an Arjuna. Have you not compromised yourself earlier on all Dharma Sankata issues? You have found your own answer. You did not feel the Dharma Sankata. Then where is the question of getting help? Where is the question of getting the vairagya? Who is to grant whom? Do you ask that? Pucchami tvam dharma sammoda chetaha. Is that what is your condition? You are compromised. Your dharma says that you should, there is a basic dharma, that you should perform your meditation. That is a basic dharma. There is a duty. But then, sir, my wife does not permit it. She says that there is a marriage for which I have to go and therefore I have gone. But at that time, did you ask this question of Dharma Sankata to God and then say, please tell me what am I to do? No, you took a solution on your own. You took a decision on your own. And we say that you sit in a particular place for meditation, have a separate seat for that. No, no, sir, I would like to sit in drawing room, or I would also like to sit in a super bazaar. Yes, you are capable of seeing all that. Your dharma, all dharma sankata problems have been solved. You have got your own solutions. Your Viveka is such. But then that great man, because he was an Abhyasi, he was a sadhaka himself, Arjuna, he asked him, what is it I am supposed to do? I seem to be facing a big problem. He was not an incompetent warrior who was asking, pleading for mercy from God, saying that please support me so that I can fight the war. He was not asking for help for fighting the war. That was not his request. He was not saying, sir, please give me the confidence to fight the battle. No, he did not ask for that. Because most of our misunderstandings are like this. But as it is too commonly witnessed, people hear and recite Gita for their whole life without taking the least effect thereof. I don't have to say anything more on that. None has so far ever turned round like Arjuna in spite of hearing the Gita for years together, nor attending the Gita yajnas that have been very ritualistically being conducted now and then by our brothers. They do it. Yajnas, Gita yajnas. I really don't know what it means. But then they do. The reason is that those who recite to others are not capable of transmitting its truth in their hearts. Please note, this is a point that I have been trying to drive through whatever modern gadgets we have got. We are fortunate to have the messages of the Master recorded in some CDs. When you hear it, you feel the transmission coming through your entire being. You get affected. You get into that state that is being expressed there. Here, Vardhachari, you get into that state. Perhaps we will not get into that state with others. Have that wisdom at least to hear. You do not have them before you today to physically hear what they say. Fortunately, somebody recorded. Fortunately, it is available. I have been pleading with all of you to hear. Read, you should. But hear, please kindly, those who can afford to, and I don't think it's too expensive nowadays, please kindly hear Master every day. Some message of his. It helps you a lot. This is the point that I am saying. The reason is that those who recite to others are not capable of transmitting his truth into their hearts, on account of which no effect is produced upon hearers. But if you hear the Master, the effect is felt. Why do you want to lose that opportunity? It is a positive aspect of it that I would like to present. For that purpose, it is necessary, this is followed here, that the reciter must have a practical approach up to the conditions related therein, and should possess a strong will and a spiritual force necessary for making his voice vibrant so as to carry the effect of the sound right into the hearts of the hearers through the process of transmission. This is what we have. Please make the best use of it. I know majority of you do not heed to my appeals and requests. But as I told you, I am a condemned optimist. I go on telling. I have got enormous patience. I thank God for it. I will be going on telling. Sometimes it is not to your liking also. In one case, somebody said, why don't you hear? He said, I don't have a CD player, sir. Then whatever I had, I gave it to him. And to my surprise, I come to know that he doesn't use it. So it is not want of something that makes you not hear. It is a want of your desire, your will to improve yourself, your will to hear your Master. Because our noise is too loud. The inner noise is too loud, more than the outer noise. Then alone can the recitation be useful to the hearers. God save us. If you are capable of reciting, recite. As for the teachings of the Gita, we are ever being told by teachers and preachers of high rank and reputation that man should never consider himself to be the actual doer of things. This is true. But at the same time, it is quite evident that mere reading or hearing of it is of no avail unless we take up means to achieve it practically. Take up means to achieve it practically. We are always in the dark about those means which are necessary for the purpose. Nowhere can the slightest hint to that effect be traced out in all the discourses. The result is that the hearers are wrongly led to the conclusion that only the frequent repetition of the words "I am not the doer" is all and enough for them. Of course, this is again a hard hitting on the Mahavakyas. You go on repeating the Mahavakya, you get the knowledge. I don't know how. So he also does not know how. Because he is very frank, he is telling it. Many of us would like to be more courteous by saying that we would not like to offend others, sir. Therefore, I don't tell. So truth is compromised, truth is buried. In the name of courtesy, etiquette, in the name of trying to be kind to others, nonsense, I don't understand that. But some people understand it. I should appreciate that. Appreciate if you can. I am unable to appreciate a person who hides the truth. For whatever reason it is. Because he is doing more offense. Not only to me, but to the truth in the matter. And one need not be kind to such people. But then that leads to civics. Would that be a civilized way of responding, sir? Is that a social manners to say so? I don't know. Maybe I am not a social being. If frankness is something that makes me not a social being, I would prefer to be that. Why should I give up frankness? Why should anybody give up frankness? Anyway, that makes you think. It is in fact an inner state of mind which an abhyasi, in which the practical actions of the abhyasi do not create impressions upon the heart. This is almost a sentence seemed to have been lifted from reality at dawn. There he says you develop, that is the first step in our system, he says, you develop this attitude. I am here to support you. Think that this, the effect of the pranahuti makes you feel the presence of the divine. Think that every action of yours, every word of yours, everything that you do is the master's, and you stop forming the impressions. And this is what is supposed to come to us. This is the basic thing that is required. This is the first step in spirituality. Impressions upon the heart, they don't get created. What exactly it means? Yesterday we were talking about it from a different context. And he said the future is abolished. Future is demolished. We don't form the future at all. We don't have any karma to take us further. Whatever is our bank balance, let us clear it off. And afterwards, nothing else. So that is the first step, the same step. Consequently, a feeling of being a doer does not arise in him because of the spiritual condition that is infused, namely of diverting the flow of consciousness from the lower portion to the upper portion, and then a further diversion to the Atma Chakra, if it is done along with the support from the Abhyasi in the proper way, there is no reason why we should form impressions. If we are forming impressions, it is by choice, not the system, not because of the system. When impressions are not caused, the samskaras are not formed, and consequently, chances for bhoga do not arise. The formation of samskaras is thus stopped. This is quite essential for those on the spiritual path. This was in fact the actual state which was transmitted into Arjuna, and by the effect of which he at once rose to the level of higher consciousness. Higher consciousness not of the ultimate Brahman here. It is from the L to the U. Please note it. The great work done by the great master on that day to Arjuna is what is being done to every one of us by our great master here. Please be aware. At least have that much wisdom of the stupid Arjuna now. Why I call him stupid is he forgot about it later. Only during the war he maintained that. Later he thought he is a doer. And then he had his own story of not capable of saving the family of Krishna. Those who know a bit of Bharata may kindly interact among yourself. This was in fact the actual state which was transmitted into Arjuna, which is being transmitted to you and me every day. And by the effect of which he at once rose to the level of the higher consciousness. Here also we go, but instead of holding it as yesterday in this message he was saying, we leave it there, we leave the grip and then come back. We don't hold. The oral expression given at that time constituted only 7 slokas to offer brief hints to illustrate the condition acquired by Arjuna through transmission. This sentence is what made me and Parsadi think we should locate these first, these 7 slokas and then try to write a commentary on that and all that. Then we thought the best thing is to leave it there. I don't know. I don't want to say that. Why do we want to say certain things which are personal? We think that we have located, but we don't want to say so. We don't know. He has not mentioned, therefore we don't mention. I would not like to be better than my master. As I told you, these type of pitfalls are there in sadhana. We think that we can do something. We go a long way in the direction, but then some wisdom comes. Because is it necessary at all? The point is taken. What does it matter which shloka refers to that? The point is well taken here. The problem is over. And these are all what I consider deliberate attempts on the masters. Just make you go through the bog. You have to go through the bog, is it not? Some trap is required for that. You should enjoy that trap for some time. So that you can move further. From where will you get the strength? As Vardhacharya would put it in his introduction to that book, Towards Infinity. For each knot, if you get the condition from that almost like a rocket, you get the power from that to move on to the next, shoot up to the next. So from where do you get this? In the higher conditions. You have to get only like this. You have to think about it. Then the power is generated. Then wisdom dawns. Then you move on. Then you get to know. Towards Infinity, the next paragraph really starts with the state of Atman. Viveka and Vairagya are over. Now the state of Atman described in the Gita is a further clarification of the same point. When one has practically attained that state, he begins to feel the same all through. This is in fact the actual state of realization. Now not the ultimate realization. Great stress is laid on the Gita upon nishkama karma, desireless action. One may go on saying like that forever, still it may never crop up within him unless he adopts the means and practices for its achievement. This is in fact a kind of layavastha without which the vision of the Virat as displayed to Arjuna would never be possible, though proper capacity and advanced insight of the part of the Abhyasi are also essential for the purpose. Now, why I said that realization is not the ultimate is based on this center. This is in fact a kind of layavastha. It is not the ultimate Brahman laya. The mistake is that of the typist who put the capital R instead of the small r. You realize certain things at several levels. Each one is realization which takes us to the next step. Each layavastha is a preceding thing or a disturbing condition for the higher state. This layavastha here is the base from which you have got to move on to the next. Nishkama karma. When you know your Atma jnana, that you are dependent upon the divine, then only is it possible for you to do a nishkama karma. To think that everything is being done by the master is the first step. It is not directly nishkam. You perform an yajna, you perform a yaga, you wage a war, or you have a debate. You can always think it is a master in me who is performing. For what? For achieving that good. The war was not fought for nishkama, it is for kama, to destroy everything that is bad. The war was not for nishkama karma. The kama was there. Nishkama karma is something that comes next. That is an awareness that you are entirely dependent upon the divine. The divine himself is doing it. The first thing is, I think that the divine is doing it. The next thing is, the divine himself is doing it. That is a firm conviction. That's a state of feeling. There's a slight shade of difference between these two. And once that is established and the dependency is established in your mind, then the Nishkama Karma becomes. Otherwise, it is only Kamika Artha. That is the reason why majority of the receivers got stuck up here. They use those words, they don't have that feeling. They say so, but they do not believe in its implementation. They don't want to yield further. The Kamitartha is still there. Kamitartha Pradayana, yes, it is there. You take any shloka for that matter, it's always there. You can't help it. They are the bonds of religion. Now here he says, this could never have been possible though proper capacity and advanced insight on the part of the Abhyasi are also essential for the purpose. Please note it. That such a virat, if you want to have, you should have that much of insight on the part of the Abhyasi and also essential, that is essential for the purpose. It's a long association with the Lord, as I told you, and the awareness of His being a savior that granted Him that vision. The vision is consequent to that, from that is my approach. I feel that because it was a very long approach with Him, long association. And all the time, not taking Him just as a, though He says, you are my dearest, you are my friend, you are my intimate, all sorts of things He said. This man said all the time that I am dependent upon you, I have surrendered unto you, you better tell. That He had the wisdom. So long preparation was there. And witnessing the scene of Virat, even Arjuna cried out that he could not bear to see the dreadful sight. The reason was that the Layavastha which has been transmitted to him related only to the conditions of the Virat Desh, while the scene witnessed by him was a display of the full force of the Brahmanda Mandal, which is far beyond the region of Virat. Of course, this refers to the Parabrahmanda condition, but the main point that I would like to thrust here is the vision that he had was one of trying to, of seeing the results of the war already and what is going to happen there. It's a purposeful thing. If you are staying a message there, you are not the person to do anything, it has been done. I had the fortune of seeing a similar thing when the Dharma Sankata came, and then my vision granted me a relief which I alone understand, but for 10 months I could not come out of that feeling. It's a continuous flow of water from my eyes. Those of you who know me and at the time moved with me know that the moment you touch the word Babuji, I used to get into tears. The heart is not capable of holding that vision. But it is not one that is described in the cinemas, I am again telling you. You don't see everything irrelevant or relevant there. You see only that which is relevant to you. That itself is a ghastly picture. That itself is something that we cannot swallow. Don't you see everything there? What is happening in Antarctica, do you know? Nobody need know. Unless you are a person connected with that wonderful world. Why should we worry about that Antarctica? Why should I worry about what is there 3,000 meters below? What is relevant alone will be told and will be useful. At the irrelevant things, nobody is interested. Neither God is interested in wasting your time. He would ask you to rather think about Him rather than know these details. Because these are some of the notions that people have got. Namely, Virat means you must do everything. It is true that everything was there. But they are all at the backdrop. But the main thing, message was there. The message is more important for us. Anyway, I can only wish that you people develop that much of insight and that much of yielding to the Master, and the vision should not be an impossibility. If there is a necessity for it, if there is a Dharma Sankata, as you feel it, the Dharma Sankata may not be felt by others. Because the whole war, Arjuna alone felt the Dharma Sankata. His brothers were there. They did not feel it. The other side also, there were people. They did not feel it. It is not a universal problem. It is a problem of one person and to whom alone it will be given. But then you will find in the cinemas, if you have got, I have seen some old cinemas, and you have got, somebody comes up, and then everybody in the battlefield and everybody in the darbar seems to be aware of him. Or how? It is a darshan given to one person and it becomes universal for all. So it gets disproportionately distorted. So don't throw away those rubbish first. It's all rubbish, grass. Then you will understand better. The plan of action is given at the Parabrahman. More concrete plans emerge at the Brahman. So when you are passing through your march to the ultimate, you get to know your own fate. The ripples are of a different idea. Why exactly do I get this thought? If you apply your mind, then you get to know what is the base for it. That leads you to further details of it, if necessary. Otherwise, it gets washed out. By the grace of the master, it gets washed out. Sometimes certain ideas go on coming to you, repeatedly coming to you. Then you understand what is the base. Go deeper into meditation. Not at the heart, because that is the place of your confusion. Try to go up. Try to yield to the master. Try to think about him. Then you definitely go. You understand what is the base. What exactly is the crux? You are told the problem. You also get the wisdom to solve. But then whether you follow the wisdom or not is a separate subject. Because majority of us know what to do, but we will not do. Then I think will is required. That is what is the part of sadhana. Gird up your loins, as he puts it. We know everything, sir, but we are not able to do. That means you are a lazy person. You don't want to better yourself. It was in fact the sphere where from everything comes down to the material plane. The entire plan of the battle of Mahabharata was there in the astral form. He comes out in details. It is not something that you have seen in some books. It is the plan of the Mahabharata itself that was revealed to him. Then he knows what is going to happen. Nimitta matram, then he could become. It was the vision that Lord Krishna brought to Arjuna's view after pulling him up to that level. That is, he had to be taken up to the level of the Brahman to make him understand what it is. And this is not something that is unique to him. We have that. We have that often. Most of us here have got it. Because we have learnt the habit of hearing, most of you are not responding to my requests. That's again one of the blemishes. The people try to hear rather than participate. I don't know why, because I think the prasangas have been there and then made everybody an adhika prasangi. Instead, there can be a bodhayanti parasparam all the time. Why I am saying it is, today's transmission, if you have noted, it is something that is coming from one of the highest regions, giving you the taste of silence. Some of you might have felt it, some of you might not have felt it. Those who have not felt it, it would be for them to ponder over why it is so. Is such a disturbance, which they think is a disturbance, or something that is really so? Or is their reaction to a situation? It's for each one to understand. I think that type of dialogue has to start if we want to proceed further in the path. Even Gita is a dialogue. It's not a one-way thing, it's a dialogue. But why dialogue is lost? Why gurus are asked to start, go on talking all the time? Why is it we are prepared to be just mums like goats and sheep? I don't know. I have no answers for some of these questions. Some people may not, however, be induced to believe it as it is, and they might have their own reasons for it. Surely to do business, they will not accept this. Which painter would be happy to say that I can't paint? Which singer would be happy to say that I cannot sing this? And it is those songs and those paintings that have brought us to this level. But I assure you that though normally wanting in practical proof, it is quite possible and practicable even today. If you take my word for it, yes, I am a proof here. I know what it is. And my aspiration is that every one of us here should be having that. And it is not an impossibility. Provided you have a dharma sankata of that nature. Do you respond to your problem with such seriousness? I do not know. I was blessed. I was trained like that. I can't accept things unethical. That's why I'm generally accused of being very, very rough. Honesty is always rough. Nijam nishtur. You won't accept it. But then when the system itself was getting into difficulty, and with the cooperation of all of you, we are now trying to present the system in its purity, I had to face this question. I had to go and ask my master, am I to continue or am I to leave? Are you a hoax? That's the question that was in my hand on that day. That was the question. That I had the question I had to ask him was, are you a hoax? If A and B are the points that need not be meditated upon, why did you write that efficacy? Why don't you withdraw that? You know the agony of the soul. I am a very good disciple of my master. I love him. Who would like to go and ask an inconvenient question to a master? Who would like to? Who would like to hurt him? Determination had to be made. I must thank one person who is not here now. One Mr. Vijay Rangachari, who helped me a lot in formulating the question. I shared with him my agony. He also shared. He says, what is it that's happening, sir? And he said, let us go. We went. And the master said, Narayana, are you having the book that you want to give? I never told that I was bringing one. I printed 500 copies of the manual. I had it carried my bag. I never gave it to anybody. And the moment I went there, he asked this question, have you brought? That put me first an alert as to what exactly it is. And he said, I have got this, please show this. Ah, he then saw that, yes, this is what exactly it is. This is supposed to be done. Then resistance was there immediately. They said that they saw master, you told the other day to so and so person, I won't name the name, that it is not necessary. Then Babaji looked at me and asked him as to what is my answer. I said, I have no objection. If you say that this is not true, I have no objection because it is your system. But you owe an apology to the world. This is the word I have used. And you know what is the Dharma Sankata when you put that question before a master? Most of us are not having that much of courage to tell this during our silent prayers. We dare not. Please come out of this. Have the courage to ask the masters. They are too happy to answer. And he said immediately, yes, I meditate now on my master and tell you the answer. Meditated for about a minute or a fraction of a minute. And then said, what Narayana says is right, go and announce. I say this before you today. And do you know what I got as a reward for the service to this? Next day I was given the darshan. The previous night I went and he said, come Narayana at morning 4. And I went at 4 o'clock and this is what I got. Because that is the day of the Shraddha of my father, which I was deliberately conscious of all the time, doing it all the time, very sincerely. Dharma Sankata was there for me. Should I attend to this or should I go there? I clarified it in favor of going to the master and then said, let this particular thing take a lesser precedence. And I had the vision in which I was given the answer, which is purely personal and need not be shared with you. Anyway, I am telling you, it is capable. You are capable of doing that. If I am capable, you should be capable. Only thing is, do you have such an intensity of craving? Do you accept things as they come? Or do you prepare for compromises in the name of what we call etiquettes, decency, courtesy, all sorts of things? Courtesy to wife, courtesy to children, courtesy to father, what does it matter? What courtesy is required? They were not born with you. Their problems are entirely different from yours. Branching off is a natural thing. Then what is it that we are trying to talk about? Social relationships have got their own limitations, please note, and let this not interfere with your sadhana. Put down your feet firmly and then say, my sadhana is more important. If you don't have this much of awareness, because that is the thing that what our ancients have done by going away to the forest. We don't have to go. We can be here, discharge all our duties that we have got to do for them and do not get chained by them because of such service. So this is the reward that we are going to get, to serve them and to be chained by them. It's really unfortunate. We are serving them. We are doing our duty. Then why do they want to bind us? Minimum thing they should give us is liberation. since I have discharged my debt to you, please clear me off. No, you hold on. Why should anybody hold on? I do not know. If you don't have this courage, perhaps no sadhana is possible. It is not a one sentence answer for me. You have got to answer it for yourself. For me, it is easy to say. I have got my own way of doing things. I have come out of it. But then it is for you to come out of it. Coming to the next. Now we come to the next stage. The Gita also emphasizes the importance of duty. We must, which constitutes the very basis of the social order of the world. So duty we have to do. It falls within the scope of Raja Yoga and it is immensely helpful in bringing about the cessation of samskaras. The state commences when all senses are silenced. The Indriya Nigraha is talked about. Then when does the Indriya Nigraha is possible? Only when you do it as a matter of service to the Divine. If all the Indriyas are dedicated only to the service of the Divine, even while discharging your duty to your family members and to the society, then that person is considered an Indriya Nigraha. Not a person who sits on the top of a tree and then says that I have got all my Indriyas under control. Or a person who simply floats himself up in the sky and then says I have got an Indriya Nigraha. All sorts of ideas are there. But that is not an Indriya Nigraha. Actually, they are all people who are enjoying the Indriyas. Mere saying or hearing is of no avail in this respect. It is only to be practiced, and for it a broader heart is required. It is not so easily attainable in a brief span of time. Please note it here. Majority of us have got this problem of controlling the Indriyas, and we say, sir, please meditate on points A and B. Sir, immediately, next day he says, sir, it is not controlled. Please note here, it is not easily attainable. In a brief span of time, it's a persistent effort is required. Persistent labor with proper means is essential for it. The means were given by the master, persistent effort is your job. It is likely that people may not pay heed to what I say herein, but soon the reality which has, due to the effect of time, got covered with complexities, shall be unmasked, made naked, and the people shall begin to realize its true significance. So however much we try to misinterpret our master, please note that he is definitely going to unmask it. So don't make any such effort. Best thing is to be in tune with him. Don't say this is not important, sir, we are most surrendered people. As I said, the beginning itself, people who think they are surrendered, they have surrendered to their wishes. And would like their master also to surrender to their wishes by saying that, please grant me this wish. You wish, I have no objection for that. So master is being asked, saying in the name of surrender, say that he should grant this wish. So not only you surrender to your wish, you would also ask him to surrender to your wish. That is prayer. May the time come soon, and he has got the famous Amen. He is not also sure. He has to pray there. The great master is in troubles here. That is the amount of grassness that we have picked up. But he says Amen. May this happen. So they see the sarcasm, see the plight, see the disgust, see everything behind that word. Blind faith has both its advantages and disadvantages. It may be of immense value where the guide selected happens to be really one of the greatest caliber and one who has attained the highest approach, like Lord Krishna. Surely Arjuna was saved. Blind faith, there's nothing else. He had enormous faith in Krishna and then he accepted it. If you pardon me, if you also share with me the same feeling, you will agree that I have also the same blind faith in the same master I have. Blind faith in whatever he has written. Even when it is intellectually contradictory to me, I don't question him, I question myself. Perhaps I am wrong. My input is wrong. Better rethink about the whole thing. Have faith in what he said. As he himself said that in the beginning, of this article, he says, enough rubbish we have collected. We try to see with those colorings. We try to understand the master from our angle. not from the angle from which he is talking, but from our angle. Without Laya, you don't understand from his angle. But if unfortunately you get yourself attached with one who is not up to the mark, but has caught you by his learned discourses or display of miracles, your blind faith in him will lead you quite the other way to mere delusion and deception. I don't have to comment on that. You understand that there are enough number of Gita Acharyas going around. You can go to any one of them. All in the interest of trying to let me hear, sir, what he has got to say. This is another most humblest way of fooling ourselves, sir. There's nothing wrong in reading that literature, sir, so that I may apply my wisdom. That means you don't have faith here. If you have faith, you will not go care to see other books. I've been having a lot of dialogue with my brother. I tell him, don't read all rubbish. And he insists that he should read. Because his mind is always itching. The brain itches, you know. Body itches, we know. How to get rid of this mind itch? You can't apply any ointment to that. You can't scratch it. It's just not amenable. So you have got the problem. The fermentation alone can make you. So better yield to that master and then expect that. Then this itching will go. Mental itch is a very bad problem with majority of the intellectuals. I have gone through it myself. I have been warned by my master. Once he said that, you first give up your intellect, then you talk to me. I said, very good. That seems to be an order to obey. And I have been deliberately avoiding reading other books. Not that I don't come across them. They give it to me also. I avoid. But still the itch is there. I should accept that also. I do read now and then. Only thing is, awareness comes immediately, that's all rubbish. So I don't continue with that book. In that case, his shortcomings too will remain out of your view. This is what is happening. People are becoming blind to the blemishes of their master. Since you have undertaken to follow him blindly, the result will be that you will not be able to attain the goal. The goal you will not attain. You will attain something else, surely. It is therefore necessary for everyone to think twice and over again before reposing his faith in anyone. In my opinion, when we come across one whom we think to be capable of guiding us on the path, we must have sufficient association with him to judge how far the tendencies of our mind are being affected by it. That is, whether they are getting gradually silenced or maintain their usual trend. I've got a clarification to give. People have accepted this, most of us have accepted, that we accept a person before whom when we sit, suppose there's a calmness of mind that is coming, that person must be superior. But it is not a one-time thing. Maybe you don't feel it first time, but that's why he says, you must have sufficient association with him. Just as Arjuna had a long association, you should have association with your person, whoever is the person. Then only come to a judgment. Don't say that I sat before him for a day, sir, and then I did not get calmness of mind, sir, therefore there is nothing in him. It's a very, very bad remark. It's unjust and uncharitable. Because how sensitive you were on that day, now God alone knows. The mistake may not be the other side, it may be yours. So give some fair trial, see what it is, then come to a conclusion. That is the clarification we get for one of the sentences in Reality or Dawn. There he says, if you sit by his side, you should feel calmness. Lalaji says that if you are going to sit by the fire, will you not feel the heat? If you sit by ice, don't you feel the cool? Similarly, you sit with a good man, won't you feel this? And then immediately we think that we have got a right to judge others, even as we have judged the fire or the ice. They are purely physical things, comparisons. They have nothing to do with this physical, spiritual thing. And spiritual things take their own time by the time they throw the effect on you. But one positive factor that we have got is that the very first sitting here, introduction, proposed, it has been properly done. You definitely have a taste of silence. Definitely have. Even if that is a short period. If you don't have it immediately, as Babaji puts it, within a matter of 6 months, you are going to feel it, if you practice it. We must try to understand whether this association is causing the same effect upon our heart, as it finally must. In the present age of degradation, such guides or masters may be rare, no doubt. And those having a command over it still live. Now, majority of the people who are following the system, who are the disciples of Ramchandraji, who are spreading his message, are surely masters who have the condition but do not have the command. There's a relative possession of the command. Some people have it more, some people have it less. And my appeal to all the Abhyasis here, because you are also following the same thing, you are masters in your own way. You are definitely trying to be masters of your own self, and there's nothing wrong about it. Don't be slaves. Aspire to be masters. Live as masters. You pass on the message to others. You say that, yes, this is what I know. When somebody gives you a degree in the university, says that you are an MSc or a PhD, you think that you are a master of that subject. Here, you have been accepted by somebody as a fit person for spiritual progress, and that is your masterhood. Already that much of wisdom has come to you. It is not without wisdom you have come. Why do you want to say that you don't have wisdom? Express it in your own way. Foment it to the capacity that you have got. Try to improve your capacity. Try to have your command over the subject more and more. The very presence of you should inspire others. As Babaji puts it in another occasion, namely that be infectious. Your spirituality should be infectious. The other people should not be capable of saying, no, no, it does not affect me. Infection affects. We should be infectious. Unrest and disturbance is the predominant features of the time. Most of us have got that only. For this, the modern civilization too is responsible to a great extent. We have had occasion to talk about it, and we know that it is so. It now requires a good deal of time and labor to overcome this disorder. Good deal of time and labor, please note it. It is not a miracle that you are going to get. It can be removed only through sincere love and devotion to the Divine Master. That is the last Charma Sloka of the Gita. Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Charanam Braja Ahamtvam Sarvapapayebhyo Moksha Ishyami Masuchaha. Love and devotion to the Master and yielding to Him totally. That is the state of surrender that we have got. He has been talking about surrender. To whom should we surrender? To a competent person we should surrender, and we have a competent Master before us. With whom should we move? We should move with people who share the same thought, Bodhayanti Parasparam. You and I should move together. Developing our confidence in the Master every day, aspiring all the time to become masters. If Radha is a master with Master Krishna, yes, the soul who has become a master. And if somebody is worshipping her, I have no objection for it. I don't want that every one of us should become aspirants for such a worship. But we should be aspirants for the company of God. We should aspire for it. All the time be in His company, which is there. And this in all respects is the only unfailing instrument for it, and the surest path to success. And thus ends the article on the Gita by Master.